Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 110 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike, I'm joined by Al.
Good evening.
And also Anton.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, actually. I'm just a little tired. I start my 5K a day tomorrow for 1 month, which sounds ridiculous, but it's for a charity and a really good children's charity in the northeast of Scotland. So really excited about that. But it's 5K I have to do every day. And I stupidly said, because you can do it any way you like, but I've said, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'll run it. It's fine. So ask me next week how I'm feeling.
Oh, no.
By the end of it, Mike is just on a skateboard, just like pushing himself along very slowly.
Giving up my 5K. But, you know, it's all for a good cause, and I feel like it's a good excuse to get fit as well because, well, we've been in a lockdown for a very long time, and for those that don't listen in Scotland, we're still kind of there, although it's improving day by day. But yeah, anyway, on to more pressing matters. Before we get started, we have a new Patreon and someone that's moved up a tier as well, Al. Is that right?
We do, yeah. So we need to give a nice big shout out woohoo to Liam.
Woohoo!
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Liam. That is awesome. And yes, as you say, one of our existing patrons wonderfully upgraded their subscription this week from a SNES to an N64 tier member. And I suspect it might have something to do with the fact that they saw the amazing mugs went out to our N64 tier members this week, and they decided they wanted to get in on that action.
Oh, absolutely. Aww. The mugs are good, Anton.
Yeah, I think the mugs are really exciting because, you know, it is something physical and tangible that, you know, represents podcasts and what we've done here, but more so the support of all of our Patreons. Like, we wouldn't have these mugs without the Patreon and vice versa. So, you know, having this is just a great tangible way of being like, oh, wow, we've had the support and, you know, we have this community and it's absolutely fantastic, Mike.
I find it quite incredible that we're even at this stage that we can do this regularly. And as we talk about many times, everything that we get in, it goes back on the podcast. We don't make any money from this. And that's the way we want to keep it. We just want to invest in the podcast and make things better. And this allows us to do it. And it's fantastic. The new mug is quite different to the first one. And they're all limited runs. So basically, if you get one of the first ones, then you get them. And if you don't, you don't. And then the next time around, it's the same. And it's every sort of 6 months we're trying to do this. And we are possibly going to, and we haven't really kind of decided on the finer details, but there might be a chance for those listeners who aren't our Patreon supporters to possibly get their hands on one that's left. But we'll maybe tell you more about that next week. But Al and I, we did have a kind of conversation about this, didn't we?
We had a confab, actually, face-to-face in your back garden.
Yeah, that's
socially
true.
Distanced, but we were in Mike's back garden for the first time, and I can't remember how long I saw a real person. It was so nice. And yes, we decided to have a conversation about what we could do with one mug that I found at the back of the cupboard from our first run.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So, Anton, we'll fill you in with the details.
Yeah, one of 20, very exclusive. And yeah, it's amazing. Now that things are moving forward, I saw Alistair has legs. I didn't believe it, but apparently that's a true story.
He has very long legs, I can tell you that. What have you been playing this week, Anton?
Oh, I hate myself. I've been playing more Minecraft. Why is
there's
this
nothing wrong with that?
Oh, I play too much Minecraft. It's like a 10-year-old game already, but been loving it. Found a server that I've been enjoying and have literally just been building an underground cave bunker with a friend. Super lovely. I said I'd wait until the new update, Caves and Cliffs, which has been split into a two-parter for anybody's interested. So that's coming very soon. But nope, I've buckled and I've put too much time into that game this week. And I really need to get a new hobby. How about yourself,
Alistair? I love that you'd be building an underground bunker in there. I mean, are you expecting like a Minecraft nuclear holocaust or something?
It has been really bizarre. So I'm on a server. So on servers in Minecraft, you can literally have up to thousands of players. It almost becomes like an MMO. And yeah, you can build towns. You can you can have homes. Literally got married in Minecraft recently. Which basically means, thank you so much, which means you can basically just chat exclusively to your partner, which is handy. So you're not just out in general trading. Yeah, it gets wild on servers. It's literally an wow. MMO.
That's so cool. Well,
I was unaware of all of this.
Me too. Obviously, it's Minecraft, but no, apparently it's much more than that. Al, yourself?
Well, I did actually get a chance to play some games. I did play a bit of PlayStation. I went back and played a bit more of the Spider-Man game, which I'm actually, it's weird. I got into it at Christmas, played it a lot. Haven't touched it for about 3-4 months because, you know, uni got in the way. Picked it up and was like, oh, what are the controls again? It took me a good 5-10 minutes trying to figure out what button did what because my brain had just forgotten all of it.
Yeah, I find that with a lot of games. Like, I find it really difficult to go back a few months later. Sometimes I end up sort of restarting or whatever. And I'm like that with, like, you know, simple games, let alone one where there's lots of controls.
Well, thankfully, I did get into the swing of it.
Whee!
It's
stuck.
Exact same issue, stuck. Alistair. Very good. It was with the DLC. So, you know, played it in a winner, completed it, new DLC, slightly harder, jumping at a deep end. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's been 8 months.
Yeah.
Yep, it is crazy. It is crazy. But I have played a bit of Switch. So I'm still playing Stardew. I'm still very much enjoying Stardew, albeit I didn't get much chance to play it this week. But we had a little N64 tier expansion chat. Quite a pseudo expansion chat. It wasn't an official one. We just got together with the patrons on Monday and played a bit of Among Us. So we played the new map, and that was so big we abandoned it. We played one game. We all killed Mike. It was fine. And then we reverted back to the older maps. And then we tried out a game on we tried out on laptops. It didn't work very well, but I've now bought it on my Switch called What the Dub. It was recommended by one of our patrons, and it is great fun.
Yeah,
you played it, Mike. Have you bought the actual game, or have you?
I bought the game on the Switch. I haven't had a chance to play it because,
I can safely say it runs much smoother on the Switch than it does on our ancient computers.
Not 2 frames a minute.
No, you actually get a video clip, which you can then put the dubbed track or whatever the missing text is too. So it's basically how you describe it. It's Jackbox, but not Jackbox. I get the impression it might even be made by the same folk because a lot of the animations are
similar,
incredibly similar. But yeah, you get shown a movie clip of, like, a really old black and white movie, and someone says something, and then they mumble a couple of lines, or the sound goes out. You've got to say what they said next in the scene, and then everyone votes in their favourite. It's a simple premise. It did not work very well when we tried to do it with the patrons because our hardware is too ancient, but on the Switch it works brilliantly, and I can't wait to have proper games nights with real friends in my house again.
Oh, I'm excited.
Where we can play this. It will be great. So yeah, that's been my gaming this week.
Good. Well, I have played a bit of so I finished Neo Cab. I think that was last week, actually. I also started Darkside Detective 2, which I didn't know was out, but it's actually out now with a... I'd forgotten it was coming out, I should say. Because I played and loved the first one, I've bought the second one. Played a bit of that last night, really enjoyed that, although got stuck quite early on, so I might already be like, just to refresh my mind as to how this works. I maybe just... because it is a little obscure. It's like a point-and-click kind of thing, but the humour is great, and it's a lot of fun, so I'm enjoying that. I also picked up Yes, Your Grace, which is also on sale. It's not one I'd known about it, but I hadn't really thought I would get it. And yeah, it's cool. Does anyone know the game Reigns? Have you seen the game Reigns, which is like you make decisions? Yeah. Well, basically, it's a bit like this game. Imagine a Game of Thrones type game. You're in charge and you're under siege. There's a war happening. You've got a family to look after. There's people coming to you with all sorts of things that they want. So in my first day, I had to go to the wall and speak to my daughter, deal with my daughter's tantrum because she'd fallen out with her sister. I had to go and look at the war that was coming because there were people outside the wall about to barricade down with a huge army. I then had people coming to me whilst I was on the thrones with all sorts of questions like, I need money for my daughter's wedding. Will you give me gold enough to survive? The next person said, oh, we've got a flood in the pantry, we need to fix that because we're going to run low on supplies. And it's like a cross between a decision making kind of Telltale type thing crossed with strategy management with your resources and in a Game of Thrones type world. And I quite like it. I've got to say, it's very cool. So enjoying that. I just started playing that last night. Played a bit more of Ace Attorney. I'm just trying to finish that one off as well, even though I've played through it before, so I can get through those games. So played 3 or 4, played a bit of Plants vs. Zombies. What else did I play? I when I say a bit, I mean a bit. I'm getting half an hour here, half an hour there at the moment, just with various other things. So, but yeah, I would definitely recommend those. There's a great eShop sale right now, by the way. Do not miss out on that. If you like a good indie, then there are plenty there.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that a bunch of tweets consecutively. I think it was Thursday morning. and it was just people getting emails from Nintendo being like, there's 27 games on your wish list on sale, and everybody was
literally
like, oh no.
Literally what happened to me. So there we are.
Yeah, I think I got the email saying 2 of the games on your wish list are sale, but that's probably my entire wish list. Yeah. Everything on your wish list, 100% of it is all on sale.
I had like 14 on my wish list on sale, my email. So it's, I think it seems to be a common thing at the moment. But anyway, I think we should get started with this week's news. And let's start with this week's news.
Tell us that people want to know.
Versus Evil have announced Hitchhiker for the Nintendo Switch. It is out now. I didn't know this was coming, but I'll leave my thoughts till the end. Anton, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is a fairly interesting title. It's almost, it sounds dumb, but it's almost like Desert Bus Simulator and Life is Strange had a baby. It's, you know, very aesthetic. It's kind of got a cel-shaded art style. You're traveling and basically hitchhiking and meeting very interesting people. That have, you know, different stories, and then there's maybe little wee events that kind of occur along your journey. Very much narratively driven, very simple. You're going through a desert-ish environment. But the writing and the presentation seems incredibly professional, Al.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is a game that's been on the Apple Arcade for about a month. Month and a half. Came out back in March, I think. And certainly in their sort of little trailer that goes with it, they've amassed a nice little hoard of award nominations and a couple of wins in there as well. So it's a game with depth that's got very, very well reviewed, and it's a nice little concept. Very, how do you describe it? Surreal. I remember seeing one of the critical analyses of it, shall we say, or a review for want of a better word, that was saying it was kind of like the weirdest acid trip you've ever been on, which you don't really get from the trailer until almost the very end, when all of a sudden it just shows up some really random things happening on screen. I like the look of this. It's kind of odd, and odd is good. What do you think, Mike?
Well, it's the first time I've actually seen this is now, you know, or just before when we got these notes, when we did these notes, and it's completely up my street, I've got to say. It's completely the kind of game that I saw this and I was like, please let me buy this tonight. It's set $17.99, so for me, I'm going to wait for a sale, if I'm honest. But that is going straight on my wish list because I love the visuals of it. I love the vibe of not knowing where you are, trying to figure out who you are and where you come from. I love all that, and I love narrative games, as you know. So yeah, for me, this looks really, really cool, and one that kind of caught me by surprise. Amazing that we had this Indie Direct or Indie World showcase and this wasn't there, and then it's just dropped, Anton.
Yeah, you know, it's for yourself, I was just like, between this and Neo Cab, you're building up quite a collection of just be in a car and get driven or drive around.
Well, there's another taxi game in the on sale right now that we talked about. It's like Night something or other. It's like a very dark noir kind of taxi game, and it's on sale on the eShop as well, and I'm trying not to buy it because I'm like, I want to play it, but I'm also like, I've got so many games, it's like ridiculous. So
yeah, Mike's just going to practice for his real life sort of chauffeur-driven trips around the globe in his, you know, high-flying musical capacity. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You would make a great taxi driver, though. Like
I would.
Like, great conversation, not just talking about Uber. It would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would love that job. You know, I love driving and yeah, anyway, I just do it in virtual world instead. Next up, really interesting one, this one. Doc Cosmos has been announced for the Game Boy Color. This is so cool, and I really like the look of the game as well. I'm kind of like, but do I want to go and get a Game Boy Color for this, Anton? You've got one, surely.
Yeah, I've got a couple. But yeah, it looks lovely. And I really like that they chose the Game Boy Color, because I feel like if you were a dev, it would be very easy to go for the Game Boy Advance or go full on pure retro with the Game Boy. the Game Boy Color just has like a slight bit of 90s charm to it. And I love that they've went back, made this game. It's got the box art. It has the kind of shimmery kind of texture and look to the box. I love that they do this stuff, Al.
I know, it's so bizarrely authentic. It's just such a weird thing. I mean, the guy, I think, is it Simon Jameson? He's quite often on the interwebs, apparently, and he tinkers around with old retro hardware and makes things, and he's always on Twitch. He's got a bit of a reputation for doing this kind of stuff. But then, obviously, he's been working with his Bitmatsoft, who have actually made an actual game. And the only platform this is going to work on is the Game Boy Color. It's not on anywhere else. You can't buy it on any other platform, just the Game Boy Color. And they've basically just taken an old, was it a Commodore 64 game, I think it was, and just given it sort of a fresh, in inverted commas, upgrade, new graphics, and just a few new bits of gameplay, and put it on, of all platforms, Game Boy Color. This is just one of my favourite pieces of news all week.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's including the Indie World Direct.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. And, well, you know me, I've got a soft spot for anything that goes back and revives an old console. So, and it's one that a lot of people still have a lot of love for. So great stuff. Next up, the team behind Switch Player and Ninty Fresh, Switch Player being the magazine, which is actually a really decent magazine. Good read. The unofficial Amiibo handbook, they've announced it for on Kickstarter, and it's smashed its goal. The book will be delivered in August 2021 for £8.
I saw this news and I was like, this is lovely. You know, very experienced. They know what they're doing. They know how to get itself printed and out the door. And at £8, I think this is a fantastic stocking stuffer for people. And I think I might actually grab a couple myself for just some other Nintendo fans. You vibing with this one?
I mean, you know me when it comes to this kind of stuff. I go, why? This is stupid. But this time, actually, I'm not going to go, why? This is stupid. Because actually, the price is really good. And it's basically a catalogue, but with a whole lot of interesting information that goes along with it. I mean, they were asking for, I think, a pledge goal of £3,000. They're at 24, nearly 25, as we record this. It's awesome. And I'm just looking at the stretch goals now. So it goes up to, what, £18 if you pledge that. You get the book, you get a printed copy, you get an A2 Amiibo checklist, and your name in the back of the book.
That's kind of cool.
That's not bad for getting your name printed in that thing. It's kind of cool.
I would also say, I think the team behind Switch Player, it's a real passion project. You know, they do a great job because they love what they do, and I think that's why I really like this, and I think the price is fair, and it seems like they're good people doing a good thing. So yeah,
how long until Nintendo issue a cease and desist?
I'm hoping not, but it could happen, I guess, Anton.
Yeah, I was thinking that exact same thing when I saw this, and if they didn't have Switch Player and Ninty Fresh, I would be like, this has no chance. But I'm hoping they understand Nintendo's copyright, because even then, I think as a Nintendo fan, just being able to flick through this and see all these characters and a little bit about the history, obviously I'll have the Amiibo stats for the collectors, but it would be a shame if this did get taken down, Mike.
Yeah, it's also, it's going to make Nintendo money, because if you have a guide to Amiibos, the first thing people are going to do, they're going to go, oh, I'm going to add that to my collection, I'm going to get hold of that. So you're definitely going to get sales off the back of this.
Since when has Nintendo ever made sensible decisions like that? The only reason I think it's probably okay is the fact they've got the big word unofficial slapped across the front.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I still think, as by just as an aside, I think that they would be really stupid to go down that route, because it's going to make the money. But then it's Nintendo, and that's a whole podcast in itself. Next up, not suitable for work, 3D artist Akko Arcade have received a DMCA takedown from Nintendo due to some explicit Bowser content. This is Bowser, not Doug Bowser, we should say. So no rumors starting here about, you know, leaked whatever, but we've seen these before. People do these things. They turn characters from our beloved Nintendo games into sexually provocative situations, and it's happened again. And surprisingly enough, Nintendo have gone, oh no you didn't, and then they've said no thanks.
Yeah, you know what's my favorite thing about this is, on Patreon there has been a little bit of an element of, you can't just get away with a little bit more copyright wise because the copyright holders need to actually pay to get access to your feed. So this means Nintendo has bought access to an explicit Patreon account on their own card, on their own money, to get access to this, to then give it a cease and desist order. So they paid for their own explicit Bowser content. That is on Nintendo's rollout now. And I feel like we won a little. I feel like we got back at Nintendo a little, Al.
I love that idea, but I have a funny feeling that's probably not what happened. I suspect someone tipped them off and they probably... Did they go and search for it? I suppose maybe it's gone through someone's company expenses. Yeah, sure, why not? I like that idea. It's great. But equally, at the same time, I'm not surprised. And actually, to be fair, I'm kind of with Nintendo on this one. Yeah, sure, there's all the various rights and you're allowed to parody and do all that kind of stuff. But I can see why they're protecting their IP. And there are certain things you will let people do with IP that is fair use. And this probably stretches the idea of fair use. So yeah, sure, for once, I'm actually not going to be upset at Nintendo issuing cease and desist orders.
Yeah. Next up, H&M and Maisie Williams have created a marketing campaign to raise awareness for the issue of fast fashion. Via Animal Crossing New Horizons, players will be able to recycle their old outfits into new ones on the island, although it's not clear how that will work. I just love technology when you can't understand how things are going to work, to be honest. But it's cool, and it's this whole crossover of worlds. And, you know, you talked about Minecraft there, about getting married, Anton. It's like anything's possible.
Yeah, you know, it's I do love it that it's in Animal Crossing and it's really cute and obviously a great kind of tie-in there with Nintendo. But I'm just sitting back, I'm like, we could have just done this in real life, H&M. You could have given me free clothes for my old disgusting ones. But this is good as well, I'll take.
Sure, yeah, it's such a weird thing. I can't quite figure out from the press release exactly what it even means. I mean, I presume you're recycling digital clothes into digital clothes in Animal Crossing rather than using Animal Crossing as a portal for recycling physical clothes into digital clothes. I'm not really sure what they're trying to do, but I can't wait to find out.
Animal Crossing clothing inception, not a clue. Next up, Horizon Zero Dawn's Aloy is heading to Fortnite, so we've got a new character. And of course, a character that's quite a strong character in the game as well. So I think this will work quite well in Fortnite, Anton.
Yeah, it's, you know, really lovely to see us getting more Sony characters, more Nintendo characters in Fortnite. It's really coming into the Smash Bros. Of shooters. And I'm just waiting for Nintendo to either come up and do their own shooter alternative or get Metroid or Samus, excuse me, in Smash. Because I do love how the world's just... the immersion of worlds, it's really exciting to see.
Yeah, and let's face it, Aloy's a badass. She is cool, and like, it's a great thing that she's coming to the game. And yeah, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Fortnite managed to attract so many varied different IPs from so many different worlds. It's just blowing my mind, and I hear what you're saying, Anton, but I can't see Nintendo ever managing
it.
I mean, the closest they've got is Smash, and they've managed to get a few sort of some fairly niche, some better known characters to appear, and it's such a big deal when they bring someone in. And then you've got Fortnite literally every week dropping some new mind-bending character into the game. You go, how did that happen? This is awesome. Nintendo need to up their game.
Barack Obama is in Fortnite.
It would not surprise me.
Anything's possible. Okay, next up, out now, Ask Iwata, words of wisdom from Satoru Iwata, Nintendo's legendary CEO. It's out now. I've seen quite a lot about this week, actually. There's been a lot of people talking about it and sharing it, and there's a couple of deals if you want to get hold of it as well, but I think this will be a good read, Al.
I think it probably will be. I wasn't going to buy it, but now I think I might buy it, because, you know, I've heard such good things, and you guys were talking about it a while ago. You know what my favourite thing about the whole thing is? It's the cover. I don't know why. The cover is so wonderfully boring that it makes me want to go and get the book. It's just got sort of an amazing amount of gravitas. It's like, this is a very dull book, but it's going to be very interesting, and there'll be very interesting information inside it, but I'm a very dull cover. Just go and Google the cover. It's as dull as a book cover
it
could
is.
Possibly be, and I want it.
I like dull book covers, though, Anton.
Yeah, it's kind of tactile and aesthetic, and I'm similarly. I'm going to wait and see if it gets released on Audible, but if it doesn't, I'm going to be picking this up. From what I hear, it's not only fun as to get a little bit of insight into how Nintendo has been run historically and who Iwata is as a person, but also just a good insight into leadership and running businesses, which I don't know how to do that very well, so it would be good to learn more.
Yeah. Next up, Nintendo have announced a new blue Nintendo Switch Lite. Nice looking little thing. But I do wonder if you're going to the effort of creating a new blue one, could we not have had like either two or three colours or a couple of themes or something? I mean, it's nice. I've nothing against the blue. I have a blue, but I don't think it is. I'm colourblind. I think it's like a light blue. It's a different blue. Or is it coral, maybe? But anyway, it's different. And it's cool, but I just kind of think they could have done more, Anton.
You know, I get that, but I also love this Nintendo Switch.
I do want it.
I think you've got the turquoise one. This one, to be honest, is not very blue. It's more indigo. And it reminds me so much of the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance, the original ones. And I'm just fully expecting people are going to be modding these and putting custom buttons in there to relive that early 2000 Nintendo glory. I love this, but yeah, hopefully they do get some more colors. They've just been really slow this generation, both the Joy-Cons and the Nintendo Switch Lite. But I feel like we're getting more Switch Lites than we're getting Joy-Cons, which drives me mad, Al.
I know. When I saw this news, I wanted my reaction to be like, I don't care. But actually, it's quite nice to get one that isn't a really kind of pastel colour, because all the other ones are so pastely and just a bit insipid, whereas this one is bold and cool, and it's the first one I actually quite like the look of, albeit I'm not going to buy one because I've got a Switch. But that's a whole other argument to have.
Well, I love my insipid beige one, or whatever colour it is. I mean, I'm colourblind, so I haven't got a clue. What did you say it was? Turquoise. It's nice. It's nice. It does the job. Next up, we have Nintendo replying via a letter to a fan who requested Rayman to be added to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. What did they say in the reply, Anton?
Basically, like, we'll consider it. You know, we're always looking at all the options, but it's amazing that Nintendo actually replied to it. And, you know, I have been stanning ever since the Wii U days that we get Rayman in Smash. He's got the arms aren't attached, so, you know, that would be a real cool movement set, iconic silhouette and look. And, you know, finally Nintendo's hearing us. I pray every day, Al.
I just love this story. I love the fact that, I mean, people have been hammering Nintendo on social media about this for quite a long time, and all it takes is someone to write them an actual physical letter and they finally reply. It's wonderful. It says all you need to know about Nintendo in one little small story. It is fantastic. And I love when they reply. I don't know if you guys did this when you were kids, but when I was a kid, I used to write toy companies say, I've designed you in a new action figure. And I was like, I was that kid. And it was so sweet. All these big companies used to write back to me, and it was so nice. But it was basically the same letter that they sent to this person, basically going, thank you for suggesting. We've passed it on to people entirely. We will consider it. It's very nice to have your enthusiasm. Basically the same letter I used to get, but they still exist. I wonder if they had to go and dig out the template from like a drawer somewhere, not even an actual sort of database. It's probably in a physical drawer somewhere.
There's something nice about it in the middle of a big pandemic that they took the time to reply to a letter, but you do think there are a few other things they might want to reply to as well. But it's nice. It's nice. Balan Wonderworld. Good news. No, it's not. Well, it is probably good news, to be honest, because it's just not a good game. And the demo's been discontinued. I mean, does it get any worse? I mean, we said last week it can't get much worse for the Balan Wonderworld company, but it's just got worse, Anton.
Yeah, I think they've realized that maybe they've got statistics and everyone who actually bought the game didn't play the demo, and everybody that played the demo didn't buy the game or something
like that. I think Leona said on Twitter this week, and I agree with her, said something about how it's almost become a meme in itself, Al, and it kind of has, this game, hasn't it?
Yeah, I suspect there's going to be a lot of people go out and now buy it just to say they own it. I mean, I can see this becoming a hit Smash game because it's so bad. It would be a wonderful turnaround. And hey, if it actually, you know, genuinely, as much as I find that quite funny, there could be an upside to it. If a whole lot of people went out and bought this game because it was so bad, then they might get the funds and the time to then actually make a good, proper sequel and produce what this game could have been. So there's sort of a silver lining to actually everyone going out and wasting the money buying a really, 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 really bad game,
yeah,
if it then gets us quite a good one in the back of it and saves the company. Because it has potential.
Yeah, it has potential. I think the potential begun and ended with the trailer that they first put out that we originally saw, and then it all ended when we actually played it. And the cutscenes are nice, and there is a game in there. It's just, it's like a bad game from the GameCube era. It's like It's not even a good game from that era. And we talked about that, Anton, where even Super Mario Galaxy is a much better game by today's standards.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Somebody pointed it out to me, and I can't unsee it, is it's a poor man's Super Mario Odyssey, minus the Mario. So you're like going and you're possessing these powers. So, you know, you've got a rabbit suit, you've got like a brick suit and all these different suits. But there's actually, without those, you don't actually have any game. So it was like if Mario was awful all the time, you didn't have, let's say, the kind of frog suit. And even then, I don't think they did the suits. You know, wish them luck with the second game or whatever the Ballon Company does next.
Yeah, good luck. Reggie has started joking about Mother 3 on Twitter. He first responded to someone asking him about the 15th anniversary of Mother 3 with a cheeky gif. Then he quoted tweeting a tweet asking, what's the oldest game in your library that remains unplayed? He responded, Mother 3 English version. Every time it's time to play it, I get trolled and decide to put it off. Maybe I'll fire it up this weekend. He does like a laugh and a joke, does our Reggie, Anton?
Yeah, it's funny where just in the reply tweets to this tweet, everybody's just going mental because they can't tell if he's like winding them up or if he's kind of teasing or if he's acknowledging that English version did exist at some point. People are very cross. They want their Mother 3. I feel like with this generation with the Switch, they're slowly running out of games eventually, or big Nintendo franchises. Eventually, they should get onto Mother eventually.
I don't blame Reggie for just winding everyone up. I mean, he's got the power. He may as well wield it for fun.
Yeah. The new longest Switch game title in English is out. It's Defeat Monsters to Get Strong Swords and Armor. Even if you die, fight and become stronger. We believe in the day the heroes will defeat the Demon Lord. I love this. In Japanese, I'm going to give this a go. It's Monster wo taishite soyo ken ya yoroi won tene shinasai. Shindemo Akiramitsu ni suyoku naranasai. Yusha tai ga mao wo taiso sono him wo shinjite maotsu.
I hate to think how offensive you've probably just been to someone somewhere.
Can I tell you very quickly before we move on? I have a couple of Japanese friends. I have a few, obviously, because my other job, I work in Japanese music. So one of my friends, this is a true story, she asked me if I knew any other Japanese, and I said, well, I do know this one phrase, but I don't know where I know it from and I don't know what it means. So I said it, and I can't say it on here because there's a reason I can't say it. And I said it, and she said, where on earth did you get that? I says, I don't know. I says, it's not like it's just something in my head. And what does it mean? And he says, well, imagine, let's put it this way. If you were going into a meeting in Japan, which I'm sure you will at some point when we're allowed to move around the world again, and you said this, what you've just said is, hello, you will die now, or I will kill you, or hi, please be ready to be killed. It's like literally the most like aggressive. He says, you'll have the security on you in 2 seconds. So that was the only, and I don't know where I picked it up, and I think I picked it up in Steins Gate. So anyway.
Maybe you watched Kill Bill. It sounds like something that came from there.
Totally. But I do know, I could pronounce that properly, and I recorded it, and she said, your pronunciation is great, but I've never read anything like that. But what a title, Anton. It's just great. I love the fact they've deliberately gone on with the biggest title ever.
Yeah, I wonder at what point does Nintendo say no? Because obviously, you know, it's self-published, it's an official Nintendo title, and I love it. You know, I would have that as a tattoo. It's gorgeous. I don't even know what the game's about. I probably should have researched this before the podcast. Did you research Alistair? Because I certainly didn't.
I tried to, but couldn't really find much about the game. But what I want to know is, how big is the box going to be in order to fit that in the spine of it?
How big is Anton's tattoo going to be?
Half of the box art is just a logo. It's a hefty title. And even then, obviously, you would know my Japanese is incredibly condensed. In terms of, you know, combining multiple words, so it was still half a box at that.
Well, it's actually called Mon Yu. If you actually want to give it its short title. They've actually called it Monyu. It's a dungeon RPG, and it does come out in the summer in Japan. They're going to be talking more about it and giving gameplay footage in the summer. I think it might be from an anime as well. I'm pretty sure there is an anime behind it.
It's still a great marketing campaign regardless of what it is.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very, very cool. Or if it's not an anime, they've made it look very much like one. But yeah, there's more details to come soon. So very, very cool. Next up, the official North American site for Nintendo Labo, labo.nintendo.com, has been taken down and now redirects to the regular store page for the VR kit. Kind of a shame, because I think the Labo had a lot of potential. It seems to just kind of dropped off a little bit recently, Al.
Yeah, I'm guessing nobody bought it. And to be honest, I don't really blame people. It was a nice, weird, random concept idea and very, very Nintendo. And I think making it out of cardboard was innovative in that it was weirdly environmentally friendly for Nintendo, but at the same time, people are going, but it's cardboard. I'm not paying 80 quid for some cardboard that's going to break, and get the second you spill a cup of tea on it, it's dead, or it's not going to last very long. If they made it out of plastic, it would have had the longevity, and people might actually have been prepared to pay 80 quid for it. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not going to mourn its loss, but I would love, and I know we're treading on dangerous territory here, when they release the Pro, not if, when they release the Pro, if they then brought out a proper VR kit to go with it, that would be awesome.
Mm. James, who will hopefully be back hosting with us at some point again soon, he's got Labo and he really enjoyed it. He said it's actually much better than you think. It's not like PlayStation VR, but it's very cool for what it is. And you know, there's some clever things that you can do with it. Certainly the VR side of it's cool, but the other stuff, the construction stuff, is very cool. But as Al said, it's maybe just too gimmicky for what the core audience is of a Switch.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there, where I think there's a lot of manufacturing and infrastructure for this. It isn't just printing a cart. So, you know, unlike, let's say, Breath of the Wild, they can't just keep printing it forever, because, you know, there's a separate supply chain. It's got different size boxes and different labels. And I think for Nintendo, you know, this is just a game almost. It's, you know, it has these kind of workshop elements to it, but fundamentally you're playing a money for like a cardboard Wii Sports. And I think if it might have maybe had a better life, you know, it seemed like they thought it would maybe build a more of a maker community, in a way, let's say, kind of Lego Kinect, Kick It, or whatever they call it, is like the little Wii things where you can build the gears and the machines and all that with Lego. But I think it was marketed maybe a little bit too much like a game, or maybe, you know, it's possibly just sold very well, but sold all it could to the people that would be interested. It's a shame, but we'll survive.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but life goes on, I guess. We have got a rumour related to Labo, which we'll talk about a little later on. Also, Lego Mario, which I know Al is probably going to groan and mumble at in a second. The Lego Mario characters started calling out for Luigi, which is quite cool after a new update. I know that your opinion, Al, is that these are two franchises that shouldn't be combined and it's a money-making thing, but I always cite Transformers. But, you know, still, I like it. I don't mind money ties. I don't mind the money grabbing if it's good stuff. I think it will be well done, but I think I don't have one, but from what I've seen, it looks all right. But yeah, okay, I can't say I'm like particularly bothered about it. Al, will we get any opinions for you, or shall we move on?
Just moan, mumble, and now I'm even more angry at Nintendo for the blatant marketing at small children of making them go, but now I want Luigi, Mario wants Luigi, yeah. I gotta get his brother, mommy, and daddy.
Yeah, it's clever. It's clever marketing, Anton.
Yeah, it's a big brain here. It does terrify me that they've planted something in my house that they can just decide what it says on a whim. That's a little bit terrifying and a little bit creepy. Very genius. Would love to have Luigi. They also, a user on their Facebook page did do a thing being like, I want Luigi. And they were like, oh, we hear he's been calling out. Mario's been calling out for Luigi. We'll have a look around and see if we can find him. So they clearly got something planned there. It would be fun if they did something a little bit exciting for it, like a starter kit too. And it's not just the same starter kit, but with Luigi in the box. Hopefully do something fun to maybe entice people like ourselves who haven't really bitten the bait yet.
Well, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. And Hallmark have announced a brand new line of Christmas ornaments, including many Nintendo ones. Ooh, Hallmark Christmas ornaments. Al, there's a nice little commercial tie-in for you for Christmas.
Yeah, this one I'm less angry about. Because, you know, Christmas. I like Nintendo and I like Christmas. So that's kind of cool. In fact, last year I was desperate to get hold of, and didn't actually, but desperate to get hold of a Mario Superstar just put on top of my Christmas tree because I thought that would be amazing, and Facebook kept advertising to me left, right and centre. So yeah, no, that's kind of cool. There's some awesome things out there. I mean, they're priced not too badly. They're kind of around, well, they vary between about $9 and $20.
I like the Tree Topper Star.
The Tree Topper Star is cool. There's like a 3D Pikachu. There's a cool Zelda, like NES golden cart, which is kind of awesome. So yeah, there's some cool, neat stuff out there. I'm not going to grumpy complain about this one. I think I'm going to tell people to go and check it out and make your Christmas tree look awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Anton?
Oh, I love these. They've got a gorgeous Sonic one, a classic art style.
Saw that.
And for me, I always, I basically had a little wee tiny tree that I just used to put in my office / games room. And I would just put little wee amiibos and little wee tiny figures of video game characters on it anyway. So to actually have genuine kind of interpretations of those characters for that purpose, where they're not dangling there and I bump the tree and they all go scattering. I love this, and they look gorgeous.
Me too, to be honest. I'm very excited to get my hands on some. And of course, this week, the other big news was the Indie Worlds, which happened, the big showcase that happened middle of the week. If you haven't heard it or listened yet, then we did a special, which is out, and you can go and hear everything in detail. But just without going into massive, huge amount of content about this, because we want people to go listen to that one. We all had kind of, well, I think what we said about it was that there was a bit of something for everybody, which meant that our scores were probably lower than it overall deserved, because there were certain things that we loved and other things we were just kind of like, well, it's not really for us, but the standard was very high. I think that's a fair assessment, Al, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent assessment. There was some good stuff in there, as you say, for everybody, and we all walked away from it feeling pleased, but not overly so, and that's probably a good thing, because for the first time in history, we all had the same opinion. We all gave the thing the same score, and that has never, ever happened in my knowledge, ever. So it was kind of cool, yeah. But I mean, for me, there were a couple of highlights in it, but two of them we'd already seen before. So that's kind of why they're giving it a low score.
Agreed.
I mean, one was obviously Ninja Turtles, which I'm very excited about. That was cool. And one was the Art of Rally, which I'm very excited about. But I've been excited about both those games on the show before. So, you know, there are a couple of new things in there. But yeah, that was my takeaway from it. What about you, Anton?
Yeah, I'm absolutely the same. It's, you know, all round good show. There was no real low points. There was just stuff I cared about less. And you know, it was a shame. I think the title, similarly, very excited for Art of Rally, House of the Dead remake. That was my favorite announcement of the show. And yeah, really excited to see more. And of course, Fez, which is, you know, a game where I was kind of, I would have been blown away if I wasn't looking at it, being like, oh, I thought this was on Switch before. Because it's just such a natural fit, very kind of standard.
Yeah, I thought it was as well. I thought it was already on.
Yeah, but loved it. What titles, just to kind of pick out one or two where like your highlights, Mike?
Well, there's actually probably, I'd have to say four in total that were particularly for me. Road 96, which I thought looks really good, which we talk about in the special that we did. I liked Annapurna's games, but particularly Last Stop, I think that looks really up my street as well. And then Turtles, because Turtles, and it just looks so authentic to the old arcades and Turtles in Time, and it's great. And then finally Oxenfree 2, because I really like Oxenfree 1, and I think it's a really well directed game. I think the voice direction's excellent in it, and it gives a real feeling of a teen movie, that kind of late 90s, early noughties kind of movie. Love all that. And the second one is coming out this year, which is exciting. So that's good. So yeah, I think we all had the same overall score. And I think we also all agreed that it would have got a higher score if you were looking at it for everybody. But we obviously have to give our own opinion and our own score. But yeah, it was certainly interesting. And go and listen to that now if you haven't listened to it already, because we go into detail.
Yes, go and listen to it and then go and watch it. But don't do what Mike and I did. Don't get to the end and then stop. Keep going.
No, absolutely. Keep going right to the end.
The Oxenfree announcement was unexpected. Mike and I both missed it because we got well, itchy trigger fingers and hung up too early.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But definitely well worth listening to if you missed the actual showcase itself. Then go listen to our reaction, because we do go through every single game. Okay, I think it is time then for this week's quiz. No, it's not. It's the rumours.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Okay, first up in the rumours, we've got Jeff Grubbs suggesting that Xbox has a future Nintendo-related announcement planned. And just following on from that, following the leak, established leaker Ed tweeted that the cat seems to be out of the bag on Nintendo and Xbox. You're going to hear more in the fall, which I discovered when watching The Sixth Sense in the movies in 1999 means the autumn in the UK. So there we go.
I have no reaction to that, Mike. That does not surprise me in the least that that's when you discovered that.
Like, I was expecting to be like, wow. But anyway.
Well, I thought it was fall. But I just remember in that film it said, the fall. And I went, who's fallen? What? Oh, no. Are they okay? But anyway.
Oh, Mike.
Now I know. But back to the actual crux of the matter. The announcement. What do you think this is going to be? Are we going to get Halo?
Oh, yeah, this one's an incredibly enticing one. I have a feeling, I think it will be Master Chief and Smash. They've went really heavy on the marketing. I would love it to be Game Pass as a Game Pass user on Switch. I know that's the big rumor a lot of people are citing. But I think, you know, they put the Chief in Fortnite, they put him on Doritos, they put them on Pringles, they put them on Monster Energy drinks, all promoting their new big title. I think that seems about time when I think we would be getting our last Super Smash Bros. Fighter. And they've clearly had a good working relationship through Banjo and Minecraft Save. So that's my big bet. But how about yourself, Al? Because they have so many things they could do here.
There are many, many things. And you and I did discuss this actually briefly on Last Call. And I think myself, along with many of the patrons, will be sitting and booting and storming the HQ if it's just we're putting Master Chief into Smash, because that would be the most disappointing rubbish news ever when everybody's getting very hyped, me included, at the prospect of finally getting Game Pass on the Switch. Now, I know there's very good reasons why it's unlikely to be Game Pass on the Switch, mostly because many of the games on Game Pass you can go and purchase on the Switch, but there's various things they could do. They could do like a Game Pass Lite, where only sort of the Microsoft first party ones appear on, or something like that. Or they could do a version where Nintendo gets a cut of the proceeds in any game that's there. Just, there's very many, many things they could be doing. And if it's not Game Pass on Switch, there will be mobs, there will be hordes storming the gates and being very grumpy and irate and saying mean things to them if they don't actually give us Game Pass on Switch, having now teased this so much.
I have two theories. Hear me out here. One, it's the Rare Replay, just because I think
that would be okay. I won't storm the gates if they give us that.
That could happen. So Rare Replay and Master Chief in Smash. And then the other one is, hear me out, the Master Chef collection, where Master Chief guides you through different recipes that you can use whilst cooking in the kitchen, and you can use your Joy-Cons to flick the page, and Master Chef explains how to make things like tagliatelle with, I don't know, a la whatever, courgette or something. And Master Chef guides you through it with his whole kind of setup. That's what I think it could be. You know, one, two, and three. You can have the pescatarian, the vegetarian, the vegan, the meat eater, the whole lot. Like, there's options for everybody in there. What do you think?
Overcooked meets Halo.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you know, better much.
You're working on your steak and you get a plasma in your face. Ah, oh, really spicing up gameplay.
This we've just come up with something new. This needs to happen, right? Who do we write to? We need to write a formal proper letter to someone.
Yeah, that could be it. Then again, probably unlikely. I think I'm somewhere in between. It's going to be a crazy big announcement and it's just going to be like, meh. I don't know. But Rare Replay would be good, I must admit. And there are a few other games as well, I think, that could really work well on the Switch. But I think that collection particularly is one that I think would be a really nice addition. And for sure, Halo. I mean, come on, we could surely have some Halo on the Switch by now.
You know, I would love to say the dream announcement would be Halo Infinite on Switch. They're going free to play with this new entry. It's going to PC. And they seemingly are going for the more Fortnite crowd, which would be weird to have as an exclusive, but Obviously, you know, they do want to sell consoles after all at the end of the day.
Yeah, very true. Okay, this time I can promise you it is definitely time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Woohoo, quiz time. All right, so Anton is on 9 points. Mike is on 8 points, which is really, what, 4 points? But never mind, Mike's on 8 points. That means this week, Mike, if you manage to win, you could go in front of Anton.
Yeah, or 9-5.
You could be leading this quiz.
But yes,
I mean, this would be the most monumental comeback in, like, quiz history.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yes. Really a little bit behind there, and then you've been on a roll week after week.
I've been on a roll since before I started actually winning, but it's just that I forget to use my words.
Well, they are important on an audio podcast, to be fair. An audio podcast. What other kind of podcasts are there?
There are video ones.
Well, you can have video ones, video podcasts, yeah. They're called...
Yeah, but they still have audio.
Vodcasts.
I've never seen one that's just video.
I know somebody that's done a signed podcast, but that's a conversation for another
really?
Day.
Fantastic. Oh, no, that's cool. That's a last call conversation. We need to talk about that.
Okay, let's get started then.
Let's see where we go with this. I've maybe dug myself a hole with one of these games, so I've got a tiebreaker in case in case this goes away that I think
Big
it
Doug.
Go.
Oh, right. Okay, that's not this first... Right, okay, carry on.
No, Minecraft.
Let's jump straight into our first game. 2017 Switch game. Go.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
No.
The pain and my
1-2 Switch.
No. Published by Nintendo. Developed by SFB Games.
ARMS.
No.
Ash Racing Neo.
No. It is both a single player and a multiplayer, and the original prototype was developed using Adobe Flash in 2015, created at a game jam.
Snipperclips.
Ta-da!
Oh. I was like, what's the Switch games I bought on launch?
Yeah, I've completed Snipperclips and Snipperclips DLC.
I knew you had. I knew you both played it, which is why I was intrigued to see which one we'd get first.
So
apparently
annoying.
It was originally planned for a Wii U release, but they decided to ditch the Wii U bit, and they also had a PC build, which never got released as well. And I didn't realise it was so well received. I mean, it not only did it get some positive reviews, but it won IGN's Puzzle Game of the Year.
Oh, it's a brilliant game, Al.
Yeah. It was, yeah, I know. I've played it at yours, I think, actually, maybe at my neighbour's. But yeah, it's
that
a great game, but I'd forgotten how big and how well received it was at the time. It was so cool.
Yeah. Anyway, doesn't...
First blood to Anton.
Yeah, that's annoying. Well done, Anton. No, I mean
thank
it.
Thank you.
I mean,
oh, thank you.
I'm not being begrudging it. It's well done.
Right, this next one. If either of you get this, I will be so impressed.
Wow, okay.
Oh, dear. All right.
Because it's a Japanese-only release from HAL Laboratory in 2000.
HAL Laboratory in 2000, did you say?
Yep.
That's it.
That's it. That's all I'm giving you with to begin with.
Kirby in Japan only.
No.
Is it Fire Emblem 6?
No. It was published by Nintendo on the N64 disk drive.
Okay.
I love this.
Do we need the Japanese title or can we approximate it?
You can give me the English title, to be honest. If you can pronounce the Japanese one, I will be very impressed. English is fine.
Dormo the Giant or something similar?
No, it is not Dormo the Giant. And as far as I'm aware, no, it's nothing similar. Mike, do you want to take a stab at something? I mean,
sure.
You can pretty much name random games and see what it is.
Dragon Quest.
No. Shigeru Miyamoto was involved in editing this game, though.
Is this Animal Crossing / Animal Forest?
No.
Is it
I didn't even know the game existed until I started doing the research.
Okay. Is it Strip Mario?
It is not Strip Mario. But I like your idea. It was seen as in fact it wasn't even seen as, it was a successor to a SNES game. The SNES game was on other platforms, but this was a successor to the SNES version specifically that borrowed several game elements from it. It was also very similar to PC counterparts of the era, but with different textures and different tile sets.
Is it Mario Artists?
No.
Yeah. Is
I was
it,
confident about that one. Oh, no.
Is it Luigi Paint?
No. It featured innovations not seen in any other games in the series for another 4 years, such as A Night Shift, a street level eye view with free roaming, and it integrated a helicopter piloting game that was originally designed to be as a standalone game.
Zimcopter?
You're part of the way there, but that's not the answer. Mike?
SimCity.
You're much, much closer, but you've not got the full title. The next quiz is, it's a city builder, and the rest of the games in the series were developed by Maxis.
SimCity 2000? Can either of you get me?
SimCity Tokyo.
No and no, you are both wrong, and that is the end of my clues. It was SimCity 64.
Wow.
Wow. There you go. I didn't know the game existed. It came out like 6 months after SimCity 2000 did on the N64, and they were very, very similar, but just different, and they're developed kind of in parallel by a completely different developer with their permission.
I mean, obviously. I knew of SimCity 2000. That's why I didn't go that one, because I assumed it wouldn't be that one.
Yeah, and it was only on the disc drive. It was originally supposed to be a launch game for the disc drive, but it kept being delayed and delayed and delayed, and when it came out, it was really well reviewed, but it only came out in Japan on the disc drive, and I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's so, cool.
Yeah,
it'd be cooler if it said SimCity 64, my guess is, but yeah, it's still cool.
Wouldn't have been. Well, I figure once you got to the SimCity bit, one of you might just guess SimCity 64 and get it.
Didn't know. Well done.
So,
good one.
All right, let's see if Mike can then draw it even with our closest to the pin year, or if Anton's going to walk away with his win.
Okay, let's do it.
The game is, who's going to go first? Mike, you're going to go first this week because Anton went first last week.
All right.
The game is New Super Mario Bros.
New Super Mario Bros.
Yes. I'm not going to tell you what platform that's on, because you need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for...
It's me first, Anton.
Can't believe this.
Well, it doesn't matter, because I'm not sure.
2006. That's what I was going to go for. Let's go for... 2005.
Well, it's a good job I had a tiebreaker ready, because
woo!
Mike is spot on. 2006 on the DS.
Nice.
Well done.
I have it sitting. I actually have it sitting
darn
here
good
somewhere.
Guess. Well done. All right. Well, our tiebreaking game then, and this time Anton's going first.
Okay.
Is the original release of SimCity. When did it come out, SimCity?
Oh, let's go with 1992.
93.
It's 10-8. Well done, Anton. It was 1989.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have thought it was as far away as that. Dang nabbit. After getting back in the game there, that's really annoying.
Neck and neck.
Competition. Well done, though. Well done. Well done.
One more win and you do pull it back, you'll be tied with him.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We're rooting. We're rooting. You can do this. You can be the David to Anton's Goliath of gaming knowledge.
It's fine. I mean, listen, it's been, do you know what? I think actually the last five though have actually been pretty close, even though it's, you know, it's not
they have been that
much in it. The first five, it was like Anton just walking away with every single one. But since, you know, the last five or so have been pretty close. So, yeah, good stuff. Well done, Anton. And thank you, Al, for another good guess.
You're very welcome.
I'm glad I got new Super Mario Bros. Year, because that was fairly tricky because the name's so similar to so many other Mario games.
Yeah, I thought that would be a fun one, just to see if you could figure out exactly which game it was and what platform it was on, because
it's tricky. And it's a great DS game, by the way. It's just my favourite bit in that game. The first time I played it was when Mario gets huge and he just flies through everything and the screen's destroyed. I'm like, what a genius little addition that is. Great game. That is about it, by the way. But if you do want to become one of our fabulous Patreons, then you can do that. nsukp.co.uk/support-us. What this week we've got two this week. We've got the prequel and we've got Roundup. Plus I've got last week's Last Call to put up and this week's Last Call to put up. So they're gonna be like podcasts coming
inundated with us in people's ears. Yeah. That's too much us, Mike. That's too much us in one go. People can't handle it.
It's four this week. It's because of course we did our special for everybody, the Indie World one, which I do suggest you go and listen to and on if people haven't.
Indeed, it's we did a surprising amount of content. We ended up chatting for about 40-50 minutes, went through every single announcement, did the play-by-play, and it was, you know, a surprisingly dense event for a 20-minute direct. We got a lot to chat about. So do give that a listen on all of the platforms. You're presumably on one of them right now. So give it a listen.
Yeah, absolutely. That is it. And we will be back for another episode in a week's time. But until then, stay safe and we shall see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.